You don't know.
We're recording right now.
So. Oh, yeah. I saw something change on the screen, so I figured you hit record.
Does it show it on your side?
No, it doesn't. It just... Well, it won't let me leave now, actually. Huh? Yeah. So before, there was a leave button, and now it's, like, kind of grayed out, so I can't even leave the conversation if I wanted to.
You're stuck. You're hooked in and stuck forever.
This is good. It's like whoever hosts it has control, you know?
Hey.
So you could say whatever you want, and you could get mad, and I could get mad at you, but I couldn't leave the conversation.
You can shut the computer down, though. You can just shut it down.
Yeah. Just close out of the whole browser.
That's funny. Well, that's good. I am Ray.
And I'm Ruben.
And this is a podcast called The Rabbit Hole Ramble. It's the podcast where we say
the quiet part out loud. Oh, dude, did we nail it?
Maybe.
You even moved the last one, and it still wasn't. When I listened back to it, it wasn't synced up.
Our cadence was a little off, yeah. So it's kind of hard to do that. But, so we're just going to go with it from now on, man. No, whatever happens, happens. So
yeah.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us this week. We don't know exactly how long this episode is going to be. Probably pretty short. But once again, Pastor Ruben and I are
we've said that together, too many times.
So, well, true. I think you have a hard stop, though. So, I mean, if there's a hard stop, then, you know,
yeah,
you just shut down your computer. Boom. And it's over.
Boom. Done. And then no outro music. It's just see you
awkward,
next time.
Awkward crickets. And then I'll keep talking and talk bad about you for another 30 minutes. So.
That's good. That'll be helpful.
So, well, tell me what's going on in your world.
Oh man, not a whole lot new other than, I don't know, just trying to manage everything and my family. I've noticed that I've not been super good about my, being intentional with my time. Like my mind is so wrapped up in everything right now that it's just like I'm having a hard time separating everything. It's an interesting thing because I can't necessarily even pinpoint where it's coming from because there's so much. And this is why I think our conversation with Steve Cuss last week was so helpful. And I failed to use some of the tools that he taught us at every step of the way. I'm still getting better about that.
It's going to take like several tries, you know what I'm saying? Like 3 or 4 tries before you realize it and acknowledge it, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where you're at.
So. Yeah, maybe because one of the things that he said that still to this day doesn't make sense to me. Or that I'm not good at putting into practice. It makes sense to me, but I have a hard time reconciling in my mind is that caring for yourself is one of the greatest gifts that you can give to people that you're leading.
Yeah,
and like, because I feel like to care for yourself, and I don't know where this comes from, to care for yourself would be selfish. Like, And I don't know where the line is for, because there's a mentality out there. It's like, love yourself, you know, do only the things that you want to do. And if something's hard, just do something else. Like quit it.
Follow your heart.
You know,
follow your dreams.
Like, so there's that side of things that I think maybe gets wrapped up into my mind or my mentality when I'm like, oh, is that what I'm doing? Like, am I needing a break because like, I'm just being selfish or this is like, it's too hard. So I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to roll over and quit. You know, it's like, no. So here's what's cool is I experienced what he talked about. He said, health is evident when love and care are free flowing. Like it's not just the leader caring for everyone, but that health and love is free flowing. And I experienced that this week from you, from our team, from several other people. And I noticed it, that it was so hard for me to receive it. Because I know that like other people are dealing with stuff too. Like it's this comparison of like, well, they're dealing with stuff too. So like, I just need to suck up I need to get my act together and suck it up and just deal with it, you know? And then when the offer is extended for love and for care for you, you're like, oh no, no. Like you kick back against it because you feel like you got to be the one that is always loving and caring and for everyone else. And to receive it for some reason is really difficult. But I was put in a position this week, by you and some other people on our team that I was forced to do something that I didn't even realize I knew how much I needed. So,
yeah.
Which was just simply a day to say, nothing else matters. Just be. Don't think about anything. Don't worry about anything. Yeah. Like it was an interesting dynamic.
Well, the burdens that we're carrying this last month, 4 or 5 weeks, are kind of like what he described, acute. They're kind of acute anxiety, like an acute moment. The problem is, I think a lot of the chronic stuff builds up into these crisis moments, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was actually had a visitor at my house on Sunday. Anish, our friend Anish, came to my house, and we had a really good conversation about crisis, about friendship, self-care, you know, kind of like, okay, what do you do in crisis and why do some people learn from it and some people don't? Some people actually improve or see their lives better after a crisis. But then other people go through crisis and just keep going in cycles of crisis and never get better, you know? Giving and receiving thing that you're talking about, the free flowing, I wrote a blog post on January 13th, and I talked about that. I talked about you think you know what it means to receive until something unexpected happens like this, where you're almost put into a position where you're forced to, and then you see it from a completely different perspective.
Yeah,
and
I remember
You know, you didn't realize that you needed that kind of gift. And so,
yeah,
you know, I've experienced that in the last month. You've experienced that over the weekend. And it's interesting because it's just like, I'm reading through this again, this post that I made, and it's like the people that made it their mission to serve and made it their mission to actually flow my direction, was really, you can never pay them back. And I think that's where the reciprocal free flowing care goes, is like, this is not, I'm not scratching your back so you'll scratch my back. It's not like a quid pro quo. It's not like we're going it's not like that, but it's more like, hey, this is my turn to free flow your way and you'll never pay me back. And then someday it'll have to free flow my way, you know, and I can't pay you back, you know? And it's kind of that's what it means to be family and team, you know? You know, I talked about Isaac last episode. He is a guy that's just made it his mission to check in on me, you know? And there's several people like that in our lives that are just made it their mission to make sure we're cared for. So speaking of being cared for, coffeeslingers.com/rabbit hole ramble. Those guys are awesome. So check them out. We're wearing our awesome hats. If you don't have a hat, go ahead and grab one.
So this is literally my favorite hat.
And I are, you know, wearing the hat. So order yourself one on the website. They'll get it shipped to you.
I don't know what it is about their merch, but it's like, when anything I have from Slingers is like, I wear it all the time.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah. So get on their website and check them out. Get your coffee fix and also order some swag. That'd be good. Also, Health Markets, Wes and Jessica, make sure you keep them on your radar. We'll have their information in the show notes. But Wes and Jessica actually have flowed, if you want to put it that way, care our direction. And it is a true relationship. It's awesome. So if you need a relationship with your healthcare, you know, liaison, get in touch with Wes or Jessica. Texting them is probably your best bet. Test Jessica, and she'll get back with you. And whatever needs you have, she'll make sure you get taken care of. So they're a blessing. Both those organizations are a blessing to us. So
yeah, absolutely.
And then I want to read something to you because it kind of this idea of a crisis or a momentary crisis. What can you actually learn from it by going through it? Because on Sunday, we had a special guest speaker that, you know, he kind of talked about his Hodgkin's experience, non-Hodgkin's chemo experience. This coming Sunday, we're going to have another guest at our church that's going to, he has cerebral palsy. We've had him on our podcast before, Todd. And he has a lot of challenges that people would be like, well, why isn't he just complaining all the time? Mm-hmm. And I think what's happened is in the situation in the world that we're in, we're actually fast tracking a lot of crisis, and we can either learn endurance from it or we can not, and then go through the cycle again. One of the things I read, Anish, which is James chapter 1. And here's the interesting thing about scripture. Whenever you get into scripture, you can read things during certain seasons and they mean something different to you in different seasons. And so when I was reading this to him on Sunday, it kind of goes right in line with what you're talking about, as far as like, okay, I was carrying this stuff and it all came from a bunch of different directions. I didn't realize that I was needing to step away. And then my team realized it. And so here's what this scripture says. It's in James chapter 1, verse 2. He says, hey, family. He's talking to the family of people that know Jesus. This is James, the half-brother of Jesus. He grew up with Jesus. His brother was the Messiah. He didn't believe until he actually rose from the dead. And then James became one of the greatest leaders in the church. But he says, dear family, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. And so, like on Sunday or this whole month, there's been like trouble. And it's like, we didn't sit there and go, oh, this is, brings joy to my life. You know, we didn't actually think about it, but he says, consider it an opportunity. And then he goes, know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Mm-hmm. So let it grow. And so there's the part of the learning through controversy, chaos, crisis, suffering, you know, trouble of any kind, like it says here, it has this chance to grow if we let it. And I think there's the key, is that each individual, when they're going through it, can let it happen or not. So he says, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So, and I think this perfect and completeness is not a perfection. It's a maturity. It's growing mm-hmm. to a place where if this happened to you again, you'd be able to recognize it, name it, and actually rise out of it and have joy from it. So here's the key right here. He follows it up with his next verse. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he'll give it to you without rebuke. So in crisis is the moment to cry out to God and ask for wisdom and say, okay, God, help me see what this is, what it is, you know, see this for what it is. Second, help me to get through it. And then third, let me recognize it next time that it's coming around so that I can actually get through it even stronger. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what your thoughts are about wisdom and the source of wisdom, but wisdom is in my opinion, a supernatural thing that only God gives. And most of us in a moment of crisis don't ask for it. We just say, why God, why is this happening to me? How mm-hmm. do I get out of it? And let me go to bed and sleep for 3 days. You know, I mean, maybe this will help, you know, but instead turning around and say, okay, God, I'm going to look up and I'm going to ask for wisdom. So that when I get through it, something actually happens in my own life, in my own mind, in my own heart, in my own soul. Right. So what mm-hmm. So this last weekend, how's that in your experience? I mean, you had physical pain, you had emotional pain, you had spiritual anxiety, and then the weekend kind of took over, right? So tell people what you did on Sunday, you know, with the
physical pain. Yeah, it was just like, well, I'm still in physical pain.
I know.
Dude, it was just like, there was so much that a series of things, and they weren't even all big things. It was just a series of things that had compounded on top of one another that made me feel, and I think the word for it would be like out of control. Like mm-hmm. I texted you and I said, dude, the wheels fell off. Like, and there's stuff that I can't do anything about. Like, and I was telling you the other day, like one of the things is like, I just feel this internal pressure, like specifically with our online service. So we had multiple things happening on Sunday news. Like we had a guest speaker. I was trying to, you know, be the middleman for all that, make sure slides and Bible event was ready to go, ready to rock and roll. I was excited about him coming. But it was just a different kind of work, because you're trying to get inside the mind of somebody else, and you know, and you don't want to, like, you want to be led by this, want them to be led by the Spirit too. Like, you don't want it to be this rigid thing, like, I'm going to say this at this point and it's going to be like exactly like this.
Right.
But at the same time, there's some, you know, a level of, I don't even know if you'd like, I think excellence, or like a pursuit of doing it well, if that makes sense, that it's not just chaos or chaotic. And so, I said that really weird. Chaos. I think I went to say chaotic, but then just ended with an S. It was like chaos. Anyways, it was, so, you know, you get there and things are okay. And you just wonder, like, I don't know. I just feel like we're in a season right now. Like, when something else going to break, like our computer went down several weeks ago, our, like, you know, and it's just this stuff, like it compiles on.
Well, and Friday you got a call that the building was leaking all over the place, and the snow drifts, and
that was just so
a lot of that, things compounding.
Okay. That was the beginning, because this week was like, I mean, there was just a lot of stuff, just stuff to do. And so I had a great week though. Like, I mean, I did everything that I needed to do, and I intentioned in my heart. I had not been super good about caring, like being present with my family. Like, I'm there, but my kids can start to tell, they're starting to say some things like, hey dad, like, can you, you know, get off your phone? Like, are you, whenever you get off your phone, can you watch this or do this? And it's like, you know, and when I find myself being, frustrated with them, they want my attention, I know something's wrong. Like when they're pulling for my attention and my response is like, what? Then I know I'm too overloaded in that moment to actually receive the attention that my kids are like, or the love that my kids are trying to extend to me by wanting my attention.
Yeah.
And I view it as like a burden rather than a delight that my kids actually want to be with me, want to spend time with me. Like, they're, oh man, it's so bad to say, but like when I start to feel like they're getting in the way of what I want to do in that moment, like I know there's some, it's unhealthy. So that's one of the indicators. And it was like that, you know, throughout the week. And so I was like, oh man, I need to be really be present with them on Friday. I woke up, got a text from an individual that said, hey, like, do you have a chance to talk today? Maybe 15, 20 minutes. And just that was like, I need to tend to this person. I need to like, I need to respond. So then I said, you know what? No, I don't have to do it right now. So right. I was proud of myself for recognizing that. I sent a text back and I said, hey, is it something that is urgent or can it wait till another day? Because I haven't been very good about being present with my family, and I want to be intentional with them today. And he was like, oh man, absolutely. I had no clue. Like, this was your day off, blah, blah, blah. Like, absolutely. It can wait. And I was like, okay, good. You know, I worked through that and I was like, okay, good. And then like 10 minutes later, I got a call from Randy and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let that go to voicemail because like I'm with my kids right now. And he knows that, and he's fully aware of, you know, that I don't have to, Randy knows I love him. So I was like, all right, here we go. So then I was like, if he needs something, he'll call me back. He FaceTimed me and I was like, oh, it must be something pretty important. This for him to FaceTime me again. And so I was like, oh shoot. So I got up there, he gets on the phone, he goes, dude, we got major problems. I was like, no way. So they're literally in the background, Sherry is like picking up sopping wet, like ceiling tiles from the floor and put them in the trash bag. And I was like, oh my gosh. And this is where like kind of the anxiety came from originally, is like, there was part of me that wanted to just say, you know what? Like, I can't do anything about it right now. Like, I can't stop the roof from leaking. It's going to continue to like leak and just cause the damage that it's going to cause. Like, there's no stopping it. I can't get on the roof. I'm not a roofer. A roofing company can't do anything about it right now. Like, they will, can't come out till Monday, whatever. So my, if it was me that had got it, like it had been there, I would have been like, well, I mean, I guess I'll just wait until it does this damage that it's going to do and then move on, like, and then clean it up when it's done. But I felt this anxiety in me was like, oh my gosh, here are two people that I love that are spending their time to prepare our church for a Sunday gathering, that people have a clean space and a, you know, a safe place to walk into on Sunday. And they're there and I'm sitting in my house. Hmm. And so I felt this like pressure to like, I need to do something now so that I can join them in their what's going on, because why should I would have a problem expecting them to clean it up and do what they need to do while I get to sit at home with my kids. Right. I don't know if that's right or wrong or like what.
Well, I think there's times to like actually step up like that right there. I mean, it's one of the things you can't just shut off. So it's kind of like, well, yep, now I got to go in go mode. You know, there's go modes all the time. I mean, if you were on the beach in another city, then that'd be different, you know?
Right. I mean,
but since you're down the road, it's kind of like, well, yeah, this has to happen right now.
Yeah.
That can be frustrating.
Wow. And so that just derailed me for the whole rest of the weekend, because that was just the beginning of several events that happened throughout the weekend that were just like one more thing. And I was like, by Sunday, I was feeling like I'm never going to escape this and it's always going to be like this and I can't do it. Like, and I can't do this. I can't run at this pace. I can't do this. Too many things are breaking. I got too many things on my mind. Too many things are being left like going forgotten because I just don't have the mental capacity, the physical capacity, like I can't do it. And so that's when I, you know, sent that text to you. I was like, dude, the wheels fell off. Like, 'cause that's what it felt like. And maybe somebody sitting, even listening to this, if they were in the service on Sunday, they would have been like, what's this dude talking about? Like, I don't know what the experience was for anyone else. I just know what it was for me. And throughout this process, so you talked about asking for wisdom. Throughout this process, I'm like, I'm talking to God the whole time, but maybe I'm not asking him for wisdom. Maybe I'm just like, more like you said, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You know, because then the baptistry, for whatever reason, the hot water heater wasn't keeping up. I'm trying to keep it warm for this, for the girl who's getting baptized. And because I want it to be a great experience for her, I don't want it to be one of those like, oh, I'll never forget that because I was freezing my brains out. So I'm doing that. It's not filling up fast enough and I just can't keep up with it. And then nobody, like, I either didn't plan well enough or didn't communicate well enough or whatever. Some people were out sick. We were short staffed with our online team. And I jumped in there on a camera 'cause I wasn't speaking. So anyways, I couldn't keep up with the baptistry. The online, we were short staffed with our online team that's normally there through people being out of town or whatnot. And so that was one thing that I missed. It was 2 minutes before service started. And one of our teenagers who helps on that team was like, hey, there's nobody back there. Do you want me to like start the live feed? And I was like, yes. Oh my gosh. So he ran the live feed. I jumped up on a camera. By the end of the service, I recentered the shot and I was trying to get down without making noise because I had to be on stage for the wrap up. Dude, stool fell out from underneath me and I got punctured. I got punctured in my backside by the corner of the stool. I literally got punctured. I didn't even know it, but like when I got home, I was punctured. I'll just say that.
You were bleeding on stage.
Yeah, bleeding and bruised.
That's amazing. That's terrible. So,
anyways, maybe wow. I'm talking to God this whole time. Like I know that I am, because I can remember vividly thinking, like, God, you once again, you've put me in this position. Like, you've allowed me to be here, and I'm confused. Because I'm not, I don't think I'm the guy that you think I am. And God knows better. Like, I'm arguing with God, he knows less than I do, you know? And it's like, idiot. So
that's interesting. Yeah. I think the wisdom thing, I think that's key, is like in the midst of it saying, okay, so what am I supposed to learn from this right now? Sometimes the falling off the chair thing, that's just like, well, that's just life. That's nothing to learn other than maybe, you know,
make some risers.
Yeah. Make some, yeah, I mean, maybe that's it. It's a reminder, but it's funny that you're the first person that fell off, because it seems so easy. And then I'm so glad that no one else has fallen off, cracked their heads, you know?
I'm so glad it was me and not someone else, because that hurt bad.
And on stage with a bleeding butt, you know.
I don't know how I caught the camera either, because I kicked the thing straight in the air.
Oh man, that's crazy.
Oh man, I told somebody else, somebody was asking me about it, and then I didn't respond for a little while. It was actually Isaac. He goes, sorry for making fun of you. I said, dude, don't be sorry. I was like, I just wish I had the thing recorded so that I could submit it to Funniest Home Videos and actually make some money off of it, you know, because it would have been, I can only imagine what it looked like for the people watching. Their faces were like, dude, are you okay? I'm like,
that's crazy. That's crazy. Well, the thing about that, and you jumped up, adrenaline just jumped up, and then all you're like, okay, there's nothing to see here. There's nothing to see here.
We had visitors too. They're probably thinking like, what in the world? Oh yeah. The student who was helping with the online feed accidentally hit the light board and shut it off. So our lights didn't do they. And then our sound guy, loaded. He couldn't figure out which show was for that morning. And so he loaded couple shows before he found the right one. And so the lights are going off and on. And I'm like, what is happening?
Wow. So what is, in your experience, what is wisdom?
I guess I don't know that I've ever been asked that question. Like, and so that's probably why I struggle to, like, when you don't know what something is, you don't know when you have it or even when you don't have it, you know? Like, I guess if I, quick definition for me would be like just knowing what to do.
Yeah. Well, so have you tried to put something together without instructions multiple times?
And no. Then I always use instructions. Okay.
Bad example for Ruben, but well, is there something that you do that you've done multiple times and you're like, I don't know why I can't figure this out. I should be able to figure this out. And then you look at the directions, or someone teaches you, and then boom, you got it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
So here, I think people think that wisdom is information.
Okay.
And that wisdom is like knowledge, but that's not what wisdom is. Cause you can get knowledge from education. You can get knowledge from like an experience or something, but wisdom is something a little different. It's like a discernment, you know, like it's like a spiritual, supernatural discernment. And that's why when God says, ask me and I'll give it to you, he's the author of it. But knowledge you can find in lots of places. You know, you can find knowledge pretty much anywhere. So it's like experience, knowledge, understanding, and then wisdom. And so it's almost like this separate thing. So, you know, on Sunday you were dealing with your emotional state with all the stuff coming together, physical, you got hurt, and also the stupid baptistry thing wouldn't work, and just the temperature, and then you have all these moving parts that seem to fall apart. So you have this trifecta of all these problems, and then wisdom is sitting here on the outside saying, hey, you know, God says, if you ask me, I'll give it to you. If you read Proverbs over and over again, it's like wisdom's it's like a she, and she roams the streets looking for foolish people to help. And I think that's what it is. But if we don't ask for it, and if we don't open our eyes to it, then we could go through the same situation 1,000 times and never change, you know, never learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And never do anything different. So I think a lot of us, one thing I told Anish the other day, I was like, you know, simulation, you know, theory, where we're just in a simulation. So everything is just a program. And it seems like there's certain people that are just stuck in a loop over and over and over again in the same exact pattern until they stop, ask for wisdom, and learn and do something different, you know? And I think in my own life, same way, there's things that I fall into over and over again, the same stuff. And I'm like, why am I falling into the same stuff all the time? Oh, let me stop in the moment. Let me ask for wisdom. You know, let me ask for, what am I supposed to learn here? What am I supposed to discern? What am I supposed to see? You know? And then from there, the next time you can feel it coming and you're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So this situation is coming again. So what's next? You know?
Yeah. I feel like I am there's a side of that I'm learning, and a couple of things that I have learned that have been really helpful for me along the way was just like I did you on Sunday. Like, I wasn't necessarily asking for you to solve my problem. I wasn't necessarily saying, hey, I need you to do something about this. I wasn't saying I'm done, though there was an internal dialogue that said you probably should be. I wasn't saying any of that, but I tried to make it pretty clear in the message, because I didn't want to add, like, I didn't want you to have added pressure, but I wanted to get it out. Like, if I don't get it out, that's the thing. That's where it's most likely to get stuck, and I repeat a pattern. Is,
so do you
when,
think that's wisdom, or do you think that's, what do you think that is right there? That you were,
I think,
you decided?
I think, yeah, I think the wisdom is, that I would reach out, even though I really struggled to send that text, because I was like, oh man, he's going through so much right now. Like, these problems are so, they were compounded, so it seemed bigger than it really was. But in the moment it felt so heavy, and I felt like I was drowning in just all kinds of stuff, like my thoughts, my emotions, everything. And so I think the wisdom was, you need to get this out, even though your pride tells you you can handle it. Right. Like, and you should be able to handle it on your own. You shouldn't need to send a text message to Ray and let him know what's, like, to communicate what's happening. Because in your mind,
lets it move through you. Like, yes. It'll move through you, and that won't get stuck in you. Like you said, actually, in the text, I don't want this to get stuck.
Yeah.
And that's the true wisdom is, okay, I know myself, and if I hide this, I'll get in a dark place, and then my inner critic is just going to tear me up.
You know? Right. And I think the fear is, like, where I would lack wisdom is when I allow my fear of putting somebody out, or like, cause here's what's crazy is, like, I'm in a much different place today, 2 days later, than I was on Sunday. And part of it was because I didn't let it get stuck. I got it out. Sometimes I do that by journaling, and that's helpful just for myself to get it out and to kind of, like, almost pull it out of my brain, if you will, and examine it and to see how silly it is. But more times than not, it's getting it out to an individual, like a trusted individual that you can, like, that actually has the ability to like help you, you know? Uh-huh. So in your case, like, we're very much co-laborers, but you're someone who actually has ability to say, dude, take a second and slow down. And I would listen to it. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people that could give that advice, but it could potentially be dismissed because I'm like, well, you don't actually have the authority to tell me that. Like, so one of our, like one of my best friends from a distance maybe could say, dude, you need to take a break. And I would say, yeah, great advice. You're probably right. Yet I can't.
Right. Do you not know what's happening right here? I cannot.
Right. So to send it, I think the some of the wisdom was sending it specifically to you because you have your God has put you in a position in my life to be able to like actually give me permission to care for myself and for my family. And I feel like I can and not like feel like I'm doing something wrong. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. So where do you think wisdom lies though? I mean, if we're thinking about it, we're trying to examine it and we're trying to like see if we have any wisdom in us, where does it lie? Like, so the person's made up of mind, body, soul. So where does wisdom lie? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I would say it kind of like, I wonder if I'm just trying to apply it to this current scenario. Uh-huh. And I wonder if it's like, cause I really didn't want to send that text. So I wonder if it's something that you know that you should do that you don't really want to. And I think the opposite, as we're talking, like one of the opposite things of pride of wisdom on the opposite end of the spectrum would be pride. Like, yeah. Because wisdom would tell us that we need help.
Yeah.
Pride would tell us you got this. Right. And if you don't, you should just leave kind of thing.
Or just act like you do and don't acknowledge it. Don't address it.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the opposite of wisdom is foolishness, you know, because foolishness is not necessarily ignorance. A lot of people think wisdom is intelligence and foolishness is ignorance. Well, that's not true because the smartest people sometimes are the most foolish people. So that wisdom thing, you know, mm-hmm. and it almost encompasses the whole person. It's like wisdom can affect you physically. It can affect you emotionally and spiritually. It can affect all three as long as it's easy to grab onto, you know. Your physical health, you got to pay attention to it. Like if your heart rate's up and your blood pressure's high, you know, wisdom would tell you, something might be wrong that I need to get checked out. Mm-hmm. If your mind is going and racing and you just feel like you're getting either depressed or overwhelmed, it's like wisdom would say, okay, so what do I need to do right now? Do I need to stop? Do I need to pause? Do I need to call a friend? What do I need to do? You know, and then in your spirit is the same thing. Like if you're in a dark place and you're not trusting God and they're just have some spiritual anxiety, it's like wisdom says, okay, so where did you last leave your joy? Where'd you last leave this the feeling of fulfillment spiritually?
Yeah.
And so it's almost like encompasses the whole being. But where it's exactly housed, I don't know. It's almost like I don't know if it's a depleting resource that God hands to you like gasoline, mm-hmm. or I just don't know. I don't know where it lies, you know.
Yeah. You've mentioned several times about this idea of like the masochistic Christian, you know, and I resonate with that a lot because like, I don't know why, but I feel like I put myself in a different category at times. Like I deserve to like, it's so strange because like I look at the people around me and I have so much grace. And you've mentioned this several times that like I'm an encourager. Like it's so easy for me to encourage other people and to walk alongside them and show them grace and like give them a pass. But it, you know, the thing that Swapna said, you know, lack of self-compassion, like that's, I don't know. And I don't even know how to like, I see the hurt in the world and I see the challenges that so many people are facing in a, you know, in just the time of life that we're living in. Uh-huh. And I'm like, my problems are so minuscule in comparison to so many people. And I think that's the danger, is like comparing yourself and like comparing anything really. Yeah. Like, what's the measuring stick? Like, who's the one to say that this is right and that's wrong? And then that plays into my desire for right and wrong. And like, if something's not right, it's wrong. And if it's wrong, we need to make it right, you know, kind of thing. And so it's literally the message that I spoke 2 weeks ago, about, you know, the gospel and adding to it. It's like, man, I lost my train of thought. That's what happened.
jump on your bandwagon, the thought of not understanding who you are. And okay, so you talked about self-improvement earlier. Like, okay, so the best thing you can do for other people around you is to improve yourself. Well, then how are you measuring how you're improving yourself? Most of us default to comparison.
That's what it is. The measuring
someone stick. Yeah, we compare ourselves with people around us to see how we're measuring up. That either makes us feel really good or it makes us feel terrible. Mm-hmm. And I think the measuring stick's wisdom, I think you could say the measuring stick of a person is not how we measure against other people around us, but how do we measure with the potential that's in our own creation? Like, God created us with a purpose and a certain capacity. And so if I'm comparing myself to someone else, I'm actually spitting on God's creation of my life instead of saying, okay, God's given me this ability right here and I'm going to maximize. And so it's not being lazy and it's not ignoring growth and taking care of yourself. It's actually saying, okay, so I have capacity and I'm going to try to expand in my capacity. Now, I can't compare to this person because I don't have the same life experience as they do. No one's exactly the same. You know, we're all individual. And so each individual person is different. So you got to know where you're measuring yourself.
Yes. And that's what I was going with that was like, even with the gospel of like, and like, who's to say that, like, if you view this, the gospel or God's approval as something that can be earned, like, who's the one that gets to determine how much certain sins withdraw from your spiritual bank account? Who's to say what deeds that you do actually add and how much do they add? And like, because I'm going to find the ones that add the most and I'm just going to repeat those several times so that way it kind of builds up enough so that I can, you know, go and do something stupid so that it, you know, I still got enough left over.
And you got little skinny legs, you know?
Yeah. You know, skipping leg day.
Yeah. Just skipping leg day. That's all you're doing.
But it's like, and that is one of my greatest problems, I think, in talking through this and thinking through it, is like, I often spit in the face of who God created me to be because I feel like it needs to be more. Like, I look at the capacity of some other people, the mental bandwidth of other people and what they're able to handle, and I'm like, I should be able to do that. I should be able to. And if I can't, like, I'm doing something wrong. So where's the next silver bullet that I need to, you know, or where's the next silver pill that I need to that I can swallow,
skill or some kind of, red pill that you can swallow, whatever.
Yeah. Instead of just recognizing my limitations and actually being okay with them.
Well, I'm not discerning, like, that's discerning hard. That and understanding it, I think, is key to actually joy and happiness. I mean, understanding what fills you, you know, what fulfills you, because you could pursue all sorts of things. And if they don't fulfill, then you're actually running in a kind of one of those, like, what do they call it? Hamster wheels. And you're just not going anywhere, you know? And I think the discernment of, okay, well, who am I created to be, and figuring out that person and then just improving that person that I've been created to be, I think that's wisdom right there for me. Because you're a unique individual. I'm a unique individual, and God has called you for something, called me for something. He happens to collide our lives together right now for this time, and we can maximize it or not. And you're filling in gaps in my life, and I'm filling in gaps in your life. And that's just the better together thing, you know? So as you improve and as you accept who you are, it actually makes the function better, the team better, because then you're not trying to be something you're not. And you're fitting that piece of that puzzle where you actually are, you know. It's kind of like getting a puzzle piece and then it's got all those little squigglies in it, you know, to fit right in the spot. And the puzzle piece is like, I think I need an extra little arm out of here. And they pop a little arm out. Well, then they don't fit anywhere. It's just like it no longer fits in the puzzle. So the puzzle is what it is. So let's fill that out and then let's fit right in the spot. You know, I think that's wisdom. Wisdom's probably a lot more than that, but I know wisdom is at least discerning, you know, your capacity, discerning your purpose, discerning your time and place and how God is using that for the good of others, you know, for your good and the good of others. Mm-hmm. And flourishing, you know, flourishing is really human flourishing is really where it's at. So, and God wouldn't have you in a place where there's no opportunity to help you and others flourish. That's not how he works.
Yeah. And I think the joy component is really something to pay attention to, because we do things all the time that aren't necessarily like our favorite things to do or something that we wouldn't necessarily want to do every single day of our lives. Right. Yet there's joy in, you know, in what we do when we run in our lanes, when we operate out of the overflow of who God's created us to be. And I think that's so easy to lose sight of. Maybe I'm alone in that. I don't think I am, but I think all of us, we want to achieve more, do more.
Well, sitting in the hospital for a month with Christy, it was, you know, being with her was the greatest joy of my life. But then there was a few times that I kind of got like, okay, I'm not doing anything. I need to do something. So let me clean this room up and let me move these, you know, food trays around and let me see, go down the hall and see if I can help the nurses. And it's like, I like to work. I was talking to Swapna the other day and she said that, she goes, I know you're a workaholic. And she said, you didn't even have to tell me that. And I was like, yeah, I know. And she goes, well, you shouldn't pursue work so much. And I was like, well, work satisfies me. It actually does give me some kind of rest and satisfaction. And so I think work is good, but this is not excusing some of the dirty diapers we got to change that we really don't want to, and picking up some of the stuff outside and trash and cleaning toilets. I mean, all of us have things that are just part of humanity, you know? And so when we say pursue joy, we're not saying eliminate things that it's just part of life. You know, you got to do those things. But I think like me, I love to work, but that's also has a fault. It has a shadow on it where I'm like, I could be too much and get all my fulfillment out of work. And that's really not just being, I should be able to get fulfillment out of that. So I think wisdom helps you discern those very things. So speaking of Swapna, we were talking the other day and she wants to, she's got some people lined out. And so I suggested to her, I said, what if there's just a separate podcast that has to do with like mental and physical and some like health stuff. And so we're talking through that. So we'll see what comes down the pike on that thing. But she's got a few people she wants to, you know, bring on a podcast or on a video or something. And so we're still trying to figure that out. There's got to be laughter involved because she likes to laugh. So there's got to be some laughter involved along the way too. So anyway, how are you looking on time?
I need to go.
All right, cool. Well, so kind of a rundown summary. Wisdom is elusive at times, but the one thing we can do is ask, no matter when it is, ask. And God says he's not going to rebuke you if you're asking in that moment. So even if you're in a ditch, ask. Even if you're in chaos and falling off a stool, ask, you know. The reflexes you had are something to be proud of too. So catch the camera as it's falling, you know, it's like, whoop, catch. So that's good.
Yeah. So. I think that goes along with what Steve was saying the other day too, was not only just to ask, but to believe God when he does give you wisdom. Like, cause I think some of us, like when we ask, we get our answer and we get like this intuition of what we need to do in that moment or in that season. And then we're like, I don't know that that's,
it can't
that,
be that.
That's, it yeah. can't be that. Yeah. And, yeah. and like, I, or I don't have room for that or whatever, you know what I mean? Like you advised me and you just said, dude, you need to like just take a day and just be. And I was like, yeah. My first reaction was like, no, I like, first of all, I didn't want to send you the text. So that was kind of like the yeah. initial, like, this is, I know that I need to do this. Wisdom tells me that if this gets stuck, it's not going to be good. So I'm going to reach out first thing. And then the advice or like the instruction that was given, it was like, nah, like there's too much to do. Like I can't, you know what I mean? I can't do
that. I can't let myself down. Let team down, let people down. It's just yeah. like you're putting so much pressure on others and not even thinking about your own soul, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So soul care is important. So that's good. Well, have you had a chance this month to do anything fun or experience anything different or eat anything different or
dude,
anything?
This is so bad. I'd say it's bad. It's not bad. I actually started Weight Watchers, dude.
Ah. Sweet. I got to tell you a funny thing about Weight Watchers. I'm going to put it out there, so we'll probably get in trouble, but Christy is on the chemo diet, you know, just kind of makes you melt all the everything in your body.
Yeah.
And she's lost so much weight, and she's a subscriber of Weight Watchers. And I was like, okay, Christy, here's what you got to do. You got to put your weight in. They'll send you little medals. They'll send you like little keychains, like as your progress. Yeah. And then it's canceled. I said, you've lost some weight, so just get your little keychains and then cancel that baby.
That's right. Yeah.
She weighs what she weighed when we got married. I'm like, holy cow, that's crazy. So
yeah,
wow. That's funny. So you started Weight Watchers. How long have you been on that?
I went through the whole process and everything this weekend, and then
all right.
started officially on Monday. So
sweet. Well, I'm on Weight Watchers too. I'm just watching what I put in my mouth. Watching the weight as I put it in my mouth. I actually, in the hospital, I started a bad habit. There's these Tom's salt and vinegar chips, dude. Holy smokes. They are so good. You probably scan that with your app and it'll be like 1,000 points. You know, you can't eat for a week, for a month. Yeah. But, and then Reese's Pieces, dude. I've always loved Reese's Pieces, but I haven't eaten them in years. And then I love got Reese's some. Pieces. Oh, dude. Talk about
it. Triggered. Up.
Well, then I couldn't find the Reese's Pieces, so I got the M&M's with peanut butter, and they're just as good. So,
those are actually I'm going to be honest with you. I actually prefer those more because there's more peanut butter. The chocolate to peanut butter ratio is more
perfect. Yeah,
and I like it better than Reese's Pieces. Bad.
So that's my newfound addiction is these Tom's salt and vinegar, and you can only get them at like gas stations. I think you can't just go to Walmart. I don't think they have them there. So.
Oh, I've actually never seen them, so that's interesting.
I saw it at the hospital, and then I just kind of fell off the way. I fell from there, you know.
We started the year strong. I did
started super strong. I haven't gained any weight yet, but it's about to hit me probably. So salt and vinegar chips, and then you know M&M's with peanut butter in them.
Yeah,
so you know on what? Weight Watchers, and I'm on Weight Watchers. So
you know what really like kicked me, literally kicked me in the butt to do it was when I fell.
You fell on your butt.
I fell on my butt and it put a little hole in my jeans.
Oh.
And I don't
like
know
a,
if
like
it was
a can
the
of biscuits. It's a can of biscuits.
It popped it. No, but here's the deal is I don't know if it was the emotion of everything else, but like that was kind of one of the straws that broke the camel's back was because that's my only pair of jeans that fits me right now.
Oh crap.
I was like,
you busted them like a can of biscuits. I know. Like, dang it. I got squeezed and look what came out.
I was so ticked. Well, no, I didn't squeeze because they were too tight. It poked because no, seriously, it poked a hole in them. The corner of the stool that I fell off of trying to video.
Your skin was so tight against them.
It literally stuck a hole.
You're like, if I would have lost some weight, I would have fell a lot lighter.
I almost just said something. We would have. I said
no editing. No editing.
Okay,
that's fine.
I have. I can't say it.
I was going to say it too, but I better not. I guess we better end our podcast because we're about to get in trouble.
I'll just say I got punctured.
You got punctured. Again. There you go.
I'll stick with my original.
I so want to see it.
Everyone's already know it, so it's fine.
Oh, like, my word. That's so bad. And wisdom tells us to shut the podcast down.
Yeah. And we're done. See you later. Yeet.
Peace, yeet. There we go. Well, this has been a fun, shorter podcast. So thanks, yeah. Ruben. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm glad we did it.
I'm Ray.
And I'm Ruben.
And this is the Rabbit Hole Ramble. We talked about wisdom. It's we wanted to say the quiet part out loud, but we didn't. So we kept
went against our own podcast.
Well, there is a line, I think. There is a line.
For the good of everyone else.
Yeah, there is a line. So
we would have had to put the little E next to this one, you know.
Oops. I don't know if you do one and it triggers a ball, or if you can have just one in the mix, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's try. All right. So, all right, man. Well, peace. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you later on.
All right. Sounds good, man. Yeet. See ya.